Hello and welcome to Ghost Queen, horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched In a Violent Nature from 2024. This is directed by Chris Nash. It looks like this is his first feature-length film. He also did a short in ABCs of Death 2. Have you seen those movies?
Yeah, I think we watched them together.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely like early on.
Love a good anthology.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I really, really loved this movie, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, I really loved this movie. I know you liked it too. Yeah.
So I think what most people know about this movie, like how it was kind of advertised, is that it's a slasher movie that's done from the perspective of the slasher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's all I knew about it going into it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the part everyone talks about. But the movie is really, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to spoil it right now, but I know that I heard a lot of people complain that there's just a lot of walking through nature and, like, nothing happening in this movie, which just feels like, yeah, I guess TikTok has really just melted everyone's attention spans for sure. Because there is a lot going on in this movie that is super interesting. And I think, like, especially if you're a slasher fan,
yeah,
I think that there's a lot that you can get out of this movie. I don't know how much I can really say without spoiling it.
No, it's definitely a different and fresh perspective
yeah.
on this type of story. So
I think that's the other thing, is it's kind of like if you want to try and like reinvent the slasher, like that sounds like it's such a corny line, but it's like, what else can you kind of do with it? Like, we're kind of just going back to the well and like recreating the classic like 80s slasher. That seems to be the big thing. And then you have movies like Terrifier that are pushing the gore and everything. But this one, it's like a totally different style of storytelling. Because I guess the part that I'll give away that I don't think is like a huge spoiler or anything, it just kind of surprised me, is that it feels like Aries is like, no, don't spoil it. No. No, but it's like, it is like a traditional slasher storyline is happening throughout the whole movie, but it's just, you're looking at it from this like completely different perspective, like mostly from the villain. Like, what do you call them? What would you call like that category? Slasher villain?
Yeah.
Is there a name for that?
Antagonist?
No, I mean, like, specifically in a slasher, you know, if it's, like, Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers and, like what are they called?
Slasher? Serial killers? I don't...
I guess there's not a name for it. Were you Googling it?
Yeah. What is this?
Forget it. Just put this down. Put it down. It's not helping.
You cut that all out.
But it's like, I guess it's mostly told from the killer's perspective. I guess you just call him the killer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. I don't know how much of that will keep.
That's okay.
So it's mostly from the killer's perspective.
Yeah.
But there are other scenes where it definitely does take on other perspectives, too. But I can't wait. When we talk spoilers, there is a lot more I want to go into about that, because that's the thing that was just like blowing my fucking mind, you know.
Okay.
Like the way that the story is told.
Yeah.
I know you really liked a lot of the cinematography and everything.
Oh yeah, it's like beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful movie.
Yeah. There's incredible like understanding of composition.
It's, yeah,
uses composition like very smart.
And there's also like, I mean, the killer is definitely like a classic already slasher killer. Yeah.
They really insert you into the story pretty easily.
Yeah.
Like, there's not... You kind of pick up almost instantly what's happening.
Yeah, it's very much like show, don't tell. Like, they kind of just drop you straight in, and everything is happening, like, around you.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, like, it's an interesting way to tell the story, and you kind of have to be paying attention. Because in the beginning, I was kind of like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to kind of pick it up in the background as you go. And once you figure out what's happening, it's like, yeah, I was all in. It was super cool.
Oh, yeah. The writing really worked.
But, I mean, in the modern slasher style, it is also very, very brutal. Like, it has very extreme violence, for sure.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely like pushes the envelope in some ways. And I think maybe that's the thing that people went into it expecting it to be some like really crazy ass killer.
Yeah.
And this crazy slasher movie. And it is like, it has a very different pace to it.
Yeah.
But it's slow. It feels like it's slow in a way that feels like realistic. Like everything isn't all jazzed up and shit. It just feels very, very grounded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked it a lot. Was there anything else you wanted to say, non-spoiler?
No, I can just... It's too hard.
Yeah, it is. I definitely want to talk more about the way it plays with, like, slasher tropes and the different way that it's telling the story. Like, there's a lot to talk about there that's just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that in spoilers.
Come up here.
What are you doing?
Come here.
So that's the thing. This movie, it's funny because it's basically Friday the 13th Part 6. Like, it is literally like Jason Lives. Because it sets it up as like this, I guess this young boy who's killed in an accident. Like, that's the other thing is a lot of the exposition and everything, it feels like it's kind of happening around you. And it can be kind of hard to hear. That's another part of the storytelling I'll get to that was just really cool and different. But you have to kind of just pick things up as you go. And I mean, what was it? It was like he died and then his dad. What happened? Look, maybe we already need to summarize it. Very good.
No, I mean,
there's stuff that happens.
You're just saying like, yeah.
Yeah. There's stuff that happens. You know, it's like local like folklore, you know. And I guess it does the like Jason thing. Where it's like he comes back to life, this kid. Mm-hmm. But the way they portray it, even just that part of it, it's very much like, I guess this is where the title comes from. He is just like an animal. He's just acting on this like violent instinct. And there are a lot of parts in the movie that feel like so cold and thoughtless and animalistic. Like one of the parts that really drilled it home for me is the part where he like wedges the thing against the car horn. And then he just starts slowly walking around the house in a circle, like waiting for someone to come out. It just felt like so robotic and mechanical, like an animal, you know, just acting on instinct. And that portrayal was just really cool. But overall, it's like it is this this regular slasher story, and it feels like a sequel. Like they literally talk about, you know, other murder sprees that happened in the past, which you can see like, oh, that must have been part one and part two, and this is part three, you know. But you have these teen characters who are staying out there, and you can overhear their conversations, and you can imagine that there's a version of this movie that is shot like a regular slasher, you know, where it's like in the perspective of the kids and showing the action in this different way, but you're seeing it from this like really cold, like dead on background perspective, like looking in. And that's the part that's like just so fascinating once you figure that out, because the whole movie, there are just these random scenes like that that you're overseeing in this like voyeuristic way.
Yeah, you only really see the movie from like a very small radius of where the killer is. Like,
yeah.
You're only receiving any information that they are around, which is really cool.
Yeah. And it still uses a lot of the tropes, like the kids are just like way too happy to be partying, like when they're driving in and the girls are just like, yeah, woo, like just hanging out of the car. It's like, whoa, let's swim in the lake. It's like very tropey with all that stuff. But then at the same time, it's like it goes from that stuff to being just super fucking brutal. And like all the kills, they feel like they're done in this cold, like realistic kind of way. You know?
I think I would argue that some of them go so over the top that
there is one in particular.
Silly. Yes. Yeah.
There's the one where he like pulls the girl inside out, like into a fucking pretzel.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But the thing is like it wasn't just like kills for shock value. They all had like a purpose.
I think that's what I'm getting at, is that it felt like even with her, as silly as that kill was. It's the fact that, like, she's hanging out, and when she sees him, there's that instant terror, because it's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, imagine this dude just walking toward you with chains wrapped around him.
She's, like, shocked. She went to
shock. She, like, screams, and she doesn't even run. She, like, stops.
Yeah, that's and like an animal instinct.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at, is those parts felt like this is a more realistic portrayal of this. Because there's also things like the guy who gets axed in the leg and he just can't walk at all. It's not like some little thing where he's like limping. It's like, no, he can't put any weight on it, and it's like fucks him over. It was really funny when the one guy, the one guy who dies very fast, he basically pops up behind him and it's like, look, you son of a bitch. Like that part, we were just like, what was that? Like, what did you think you were doing just then?
I feel like that only works in like those campy, like that solution only works in those campy movies. But to see it play out where it was like, no, like,
I don't know what he was trying to do. If he was trying to just distract her or something.
I don't know. It was funny though.
But like, I think the parts that were the most chilling, there were a few, like we mentioned when the part where he was drowning the girl in the lake.
Yeah.
How like our view of it was just the surface of the water where it was like dead silent.
Yeah.
And then occasionally she'd pop up for a second and yell and then drop back down.
For like the smallest amount of time.
Yes. And like you can see the actual slasher movie version that would be underwater showing like all the struggle and action. But you're just getting this cold, like distant view of it. And
and also just how easy it was for him to kill her. Like it, that was nothing.
Yeah, there is like a powerlessness
with
all the characters against this thing. And even toward the end, they bring up a, there's like a Tommy Jarvis in this movie, basically. Yeah. He's like the park ranger who gives like this really dramatic exposition.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because that's the other thing is so often in the movie, since you're looking from a distance, it's like I couldn't even make out the characters. Like it was almost like they were not important. Yeah. You know, they were just like these background characters.
Yeah, the way that they would like line up the shots so that you would see only the important information as to the killer's perspective.
Yeah.
It was not all about capturing what was happening in these characters' lives.
Yeah, that was just, that was really cool and original. Like, I appreciated it.
I did too.
I feel like it maybe didn't work for everybody, but
it is kind of sad.
I loved it.
I haven't really heard anybody really talking about this, honestly.
Yeah.
I think really the only comment I heard was that you told me that some people found it funny, and that surprised me.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is like darkly comedic, I think, in some ways.
But I totally see it, and I like it.
Totally. But I think that has to do with the way that it's like very tongue-in-cheek about the genre. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think had this movie like not had the like strong backbone of a original slasher story, like it had all the elements. All the elements were there. I think it wouldn't have been as strong, but it had it. So.
That's the thing that makes it so interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, it kind of, the other thing that really shook me. So like the Tommy Jarvis was interesting because he gives you all this plot. Like I was saying, it's in this like very non-direct way. So you're just picking up on it and it makes it feel almost like frivolous, even though his delivery is like so dramatic.
Yeah.
And of course he gets caught. And it feels like his death would be the one that would be kind of off camera in the real slasher movie. Mm-hmm. But in this, it's like so drawn out and like horrific.
Yeah.
Like you can feel like he really hates this guy.
Yeah.
Like they have a history. And that was like really disturbing. But it's funny because that machine that splits the logs.
The log splitter.
But she like shows him first the fucking log.
Yeah.
I was totally sitting there like, oh shit, they're gonna pull a fucking Terrifier. Like it's gonna go down his fucking crotch. And that turned into us like arguing in the middle of the movie. Because you were like, no, I think he would like flop to the side and it wouldn't work. And it's like, no, they could support his neck and hold him in place. And we're like talking about that in the middle of the scene. And then he just gets his head cut off. And I was kind of like, oh, I thought that was going to be way worse. That's not so bad. But it was also really cool how they build up the final girl at the end. Like it has a final girl. And it's even like this whole dramatic thing where she leaves his locket, you know, but then the way it goes after that, like first of all, leading up to that, I think the most impactful part of the movie was when she sees her boyfriend get killed, And he just starts hacking at his body over and over while she like runs away. And it's the fact that like, again, with the realistic portrayal, she's running through the woods at night. It's like super loud with all these insect noises and shit. Yeah. And she's getting lost and she keeps circling around and hearing him still whacking her boy. It's like, and it just goes on for so long. And it's like, yeah, woods do be like that. Yeah. Like, I can remember being a kid in the woods at night, and it's like, it gets scary because you can get lost super
easily. Very easily, yeah. Yes.
And the fact that she winds up being more affected by basically exposure, being out there, like getting tired and hungry. And it's like a whole thing leading up to her finally getting in a car. And there's that long shot of her, like, staring in the woods when they stopped the car. We were yelling at the screen, like, what are you doing? Like, drive. But there's that long shot where she's just staring in the woods and you're just waiting for him to, like, come walking out.
Well, yeah. But right before she gets in the car, she, like, trips on a stick.
You know what? I wrote that down, too. You just had to talk about the fucking stick. All right, you can bring it up.
No.
No, it's okay. It's so funny because we went hiking recently.
Oh, my God.
And you tripped on a stick and hurt your knee.
Yes.
Which is very silly because you're... I love you so much, but you are very clumsy and you make me worry sometimes.
Yes. I've just been like that my whole life.
But I feel like you got so defensive about tripping on the stick. And we watched some other movie. We still don't even remember what movie it was, where a girl tripped on a stick. And you're like, see, it does happen. And another girl tripped on a stick in this movie.
Yes.
So I guess that's just normal girl thing. But it's like the kind of shocking way it ends is that he never comes for her, and they cut back to where she placed the locket, and the locket's missing. So it's essentially saying, I guess he picked up the locket, and that was it. It was over at that point. But she was, like, so realistically traumatized and, like, had PTSD over just going through that. And, yeah, it just, I think in every way, it is telling this kind of campy story in this, like, cold, unflinching way that, yeah, felt really fresh. It was interesting that I think... This whole movie, well, not the whole movie. I think a lot of this movie takes place during the day, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of different.
Yeah, I feel like it does start off during the day, and you kind of, like, follow, like,
is it like
within
one day
time.
And
yeah.
One night?
I think
so. I can't remember.
I think it's pretty close. Hmm. But when I notice, like, when he's, like, stalking them in the woods.
Yeah.
Even at night and during the day, he was literally, like, I don't know, a handful of yards away from them at any given moment. And, like, the only time that they noticed that he was around, besides when people were dying, was when they took the photo and he was just, like, in the back of the photo. There was a point where he was, like, stalking the cabin at some point, and you just look out in the trees and, like, he's standing there, but, like, you don't notice until he moves. That was really scary.
Yeah, he's like stalking them throughout the whole movie. And it plays into that animalistic kind of nature, is that basically the only reason he's going after them is because they were making noise.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of walking in a straight line. And when he hears them, he just veers off and starts killing them for no real reason, you know?
Yeah, that's shown really well when the girls are in the car and then, like, he's walking the opposite direction, but they're screaming. So
they're just like, I'm a girl, And then, that makes him turn and just start following them.
Yeah,
that was cool. And it also makes it more striking at the end when it kind of switches to the girl's perspective. Mm-hmm. Because you're so used to kind of looking over his shoulder as he's constantly pursuing them. So you just expect him to be there the whole time, and he's just not. And that kind of dread, it still manages to, like, creep in there even though you don't even see him.
Yeah, for most of the movie, he's, like, really hidden in plain sight. And I think he just, especially that part where she finally gets in the car and she's just looking in the woods. Yeah. I truly was like, okay, he's just going to move and be there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They really do, like, play with your expectations there. It's like I said, it's after building the whole movie around, you know, him stalking them. You still expect him to be there even when you don't see him. Mm-hmm. And, every part of the movie, it just felt like very well thought out mm-hmm. and put together. They really understand the genre. I think, honestly, the only part that I felt didn't need to be there is the early part when they introduced the characters around the bonfire and the cameras circling around. It's like this long scene of them just like shooting the shit, which I guess is there to introduce all of them. But I think it honestly would have been better if they just stayed in the background the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And just, you know, like saw them like in the distance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might have been even more effective. Mm-hmm. But that's really the only thing that stands out to me. Every other part of the movie, I even like the slow pace because that just fed into how grounded and I don't know. It doesn't. It plays with spectacle in a different way. It kind of saves it up.
Okay. So when I heard you say that, I thought you were gonna talk about how they introduced the locket.
Oh yeah.
And like I felt at the end, they like bring it back up. They're like, "Look, the locket," and it was like, "Well, I don't know." I felt like you really didn't need to call back to it. I thought it was. Mm. I thought the story was there.
It's on its own. It's like just enough little slasher lore that. Mm-hmm. You don't need to dig into too much. It's just like in the beginning, it's hanging off a pole, which impaled him and as he was buried underground. Mm-hmm. And that kind of kept him there. And since they take the locket, the whole movie is just him trying to find it. And that's it. You know, that's like the little bit of sequel lore that you get.
Yeah. In Friday 13th, the game, doesn't that activate something like when you steal her sweater?
I don't remember. You played way more of that than I did.
I love that game so much. I'm so sad that it died off. Yeah. But I could have swore there was something like you got like a really good power up from it, but it also like activated something that like it was like to the killer's advantage. I don't know. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, that ties into the movies anyway, so it makes sense. Totally.
I think that was another thing of why I really liked this movie, because I would play Friday the 13th, the game, a lot, and usually I'd play as Jason, because it's fun.
Yeah.
And I felt like it had a lot of those tropes in there, too. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, even with the camera perspective.
Yeah, looking for the keys, you know, having to get a gas can and stuff like that. Like,
yeah. It's very much the typical kind of slasher.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's the most of, like, that's the thing I expected the least. I really didn't think it was going to do all of that.
Oh, no. I don't think I definitely didn't expect, like, the beautiful color grading and the wonderful composition. Yeah. Like, I think I saw a very short trailer. I think we saw, like, in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely caught my attention. I was like, okay, this looks...
I don't know that.
Okay. Not your podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I thought that... I don't know what I was talking about because the computer... cut me off. I don't know.
I'm saying the color grading and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It has beautiful color grading, and the composition was so well done. I really wasn't expecting it to be, like, I don't want to sound, like, pretentious, but, like, elevated. Yeah. Like, it is, like...
Yeah. Well, that's... I was actually just thinking that, like, I think there's a way to be kind of dismissive of this as being, like, artsy, elevated slasher mm-hmm. or whatever. But I think even the brutality of the kills kind of pushes against that, because it holds mm-hmm. its own as, like, a pretty brutal fucking slasher. It's just the way that it's framed. Like, yes, it is definitely, like, a huge hard dork had to have made this. We, like, really understood slashers and everything. So I get it. But that it just worked for me and was super, super entertaining.
Yeah, they had really exaggerated special effects, like, to the point where it was, like, that had to be, like, really fun gag to try to figure out. And, like, that also really caught my attention because, I mean, not only are the practical effects, like, really good, but they're really silly. Like, they're really over the top. And
oh, they get creative the way you kind of have to with slasher.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Was there anything else you want to talk about?
I'm just a huge fan of that scene where he throws the guy's, like, half of his head
through the window.
The window, and then, like, it, like, perfectly lands in the, like, most perfect lit spot.
Yeah, we were, like, discussing, like, they had to have reversed that and, like, stitched it into his other, like, trying to figure it out because it was just too fucking perfect.
It's so cool. I really would like to see behind the scenes of this.
Yeah. I think this got reviewed kind of lower than I would have expected, which is crazy.
Briefly looked and I was like kind of disappointed by how low the rating is. I have to look a little further to see what other people's, you know, what's going on in other people's heads when they saw it.
I will be the old man and say it is all brain rot from social media that made people's attention span so fucking short that like 2 seconds of him walking through the woods are like boring.
But I mean, like, that adds to the dread of the movie.
Yes, like, definitely.
It makes it a lot more bleak while somehow still making it so silly. And I think that's kind of special. I don't know.
I'm glad movies like this can still come out.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how much longer it's going to happen.
I want more movies like this, you know, like fresh perspectives and new storytelling.
Yeah. And yeah, the killer, definitely very iconic. Everything from like the mask, the hooks, the random chains you could just see him putting on and be like, yeah, this looks pretty fucking cool. It all works.
Well, I mean, this is me getting really nerdy with it, but I would argue that chain was literally just on him because it got stuck on him while he was like doing his thing, and like he just left it like that, which I think, I don't know, looking at it from like a concept character, you know, like why he would have these things. I mean, like, he found that mask in the
it's like a part of the whole story too. There's something about that. So it's like, yeah, that's that little bit of lore that's like,
I thought it was a really smart concept for this character.
Even though I definitely thought he looks like the frogs from Dark Souls at one point with the big eyes.
Yeah, I thought
some people will get that.
Yeah, it did look a little bit like the old timey mask in SpongeBob.
Sure. That's a reference I cannot follow you on, but sure. But that's it. Highly recommended. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghostbeast Pod, and you can follow Ghostbeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. So how about this? Underneath Sleepaway Camp and above Long Legs.
Above Long Legs?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that puts it at number 8 on our list. And you can reach us at podcast@ghostbeast.com.
Man Ray. It looks like Man Ray. Sorry.
Okay. I understand now. Okay. I don't know. Goodbye.